this wicked world below. No lamb upon the altar could wash as white as snow. There was no human worthy to lay aside a crown. So from the holy heights of heaven, God sent Jesus down. And now there is a sacrifice for sin. There is amazing grace. There is a change that comes within each time a sinner prays. There is a cross that's blessing, but the story does not end. Oh, there is a tomb that's empty, and it's the only one there is.
I still don't understand it. I still can't comprehend the love the cross demanded as it paid for all my sins. I don't claim to have the answer to the problems here below, but when it comes to God and sinners, could I tell you what I know?
Thank you, Greens. Thank God it's the only one there is. There's a lot of these other religions, and whoever they're serving, they're still there. They're still in their tomb. You see, the thing that separates Christianity from everything else is we serve a risen Savior that death and the grave had no power over. You know why? Because Jesus said that all power was given unto Him in heaven and in earth. And so earth couldn't hold Him. The grave couldn't hold Him. So up from the grave He came. And glory to God, we celebrate that today. And well, I'm telling you, folks, the resurrection, it means everything to us. It means everything. And boy, I tell you, one of these days, we're going to see that risen Savior. And we're going to see Him face to face. I'm not going to ask to see the nail scars in His hands or His pierced side. All I want to do is just see Him. That's all I'm concerned about. Now, there's a lot of other people in heaven I'd like to have a conversation with over the next couple of million years. But Jesus Christ is the one who died for me and saved me. And He's the one I want to spend time with. And I think He's kind of going to be the center of attention when we get to heaven. And I hope that you've enjoyed this day, this Easter Sunday. And would you take your Bible with me, if you would, please, tonight? And again, I want to thank Brother and Mrs. Robbins and their cooking crew. Who provided a wonderful meal for our bus workers today on Easter Sunday. They didn't have to. Matter of fact, we kind of hinted around, tried to talk them out of it a little bit, and they didn't want to. They wouldn't hear nothing about it. And so they stayed, and I want to thank them publicly for taking care of our bus workers. And bus workers, again, please make sure that you let them know. Anybody that goes out of their way to do something special in service, we need to be grateful. We need to be thankful for that. And I hope that you'll take time to thank them. Luke chapter 10, if you would please stand with me. Luke chapter number 10. I want to preach to you tonight about being a clutter-free Christian. You know, the interesting thing, I like the way Webster's defines the word clutter. He defines the word clutter as jumble, or litter, or a disordered state. Now, boy, that pretty much describes most of us, because I think if most of us would look inside, I think we got a lot of trash, a lot of litter laying around that needs to be picked up. We need to clean up. That's what we need to do. And the problem is because all that litter, because all that jumble and all of that stuff that's in our life, it's cutting us off from God. It's stopping us from being what we need to be as a Christian. I found a place in Scripture that I think depicts probably best what I want to preach about tonight. Luke chapter 10, verse number 38. It'll be familiar to you. The Bible says, "Now it came to pass as they went," speaking of Jesus, "and a crowd, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word." Now I want you to notice verse 40. "But Martha was cumbered about with much serving, and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me.' And Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things.'" I think he was calling attention to a little clutter, a little jumble there. He says, "But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her." And I think most of us can associate with Martha, because I'm sure that there have been times in your life, as it has been times in mine, that we've called the Lord's attention to somebody else and what they're doing. I think, folks, what we need to do, I think some good advice the preacher has preached about and said that, you know, I think the best thing for all of us to do is just mind our own business. I got enough to mind in my own life without having to be concerned about something in somebody else's life. You know what? I got enough trash and litter and jumble and clutter in my life that I need to clean up. Now, with that said, I want to talk to you tonight about being a clutter-free Christian. Father, bless the time we have together tonight. Open our hearts, Spirit of God, that we might receive the preaching of the Word of God, that our hearts might be open to what you have to say to us tonight, and we'll give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. You ever walked into somebody's garage? If you can get in it. You know what is what is in most people, what's in most people's garage? Clutter. Jumble. It's in a disordered state. And the thing about it is, I find that there's everything. And by the way, you can find everything in a garage. Some of you probably got everything from plywood to hunting gear to car parts to boxes of clothes that one day you think, man, I'm going to have a garage sale one day. I'm telling you, we're going to have a garage sale. That was 6-8 months ago you was planning on having a garage sale. And now it's no longer become garage sale fodder. It's now become clutter. It's now become litter and jumble in your garage. You see, the thing about it is a garage is designed to put the car in. Now the thing about it is we put everything in there except the car. But that's not what it was designed for. It was designed to put your car in there. But we go out and we look at all that space like I do, and I thought, man, wouldn't this be a great place to store all my stuff? Now here's the crazy thing. You think about that the next time a hailstorm comes. While your car's outside, and you think, man, I sure would like to get my car inside. If you're like me, you jump in the car and you go run looking for a bridge to get under. All I'm saying to you tonight, folks, is we got too much clutter. I think if you'll check yourself out tonight like I have this week, you'll find out there's a lot of litter and jumble that could go. The problem is that we're just like the guy going down the road. We're sitting at the red light. He's eating a Whataburger. And next thing you know, his wrapper goes out the window. His cup goes out. You think, that stinking litter bug. He's littering everywhere. Well, can I say this to you? Stop just a minute now. Take time out to check your inside out. And check out what's going on. And let's find out how much jumble there is laying around in your interior garage. You see, the thing about it is God can't use most of us because, hey, His intent is to use us in a wonderful way, but He can't because we've got too much clutter. And the problem is, while the car stays outside in the hailstorm, the clutter stays inside where it's dry. And we got it all backwards. Now, if you're like me, I get out there and I clean the garage up and I get everything organized. About 2 months later, guess what? It's all back like it was. All that jumble's back out there. All that litter's back out there. I think, man, where does all this stuff come from? The problem is we get lazy with our upkeep. By the way, which causes us future problems. Now, the thing about it is we kick ourselves all day long when we have to take our car down there and get all the hail dings out of it when we could have put it in the garage when the hail started, but no, there wasn't any room in the garage. And I'm here to tell you that for us, you know what? There's no room for God in our life. We got too much litter. We got too much jumble. We got too many things that are clogging our lives up. Now, may I say to you, church, tonight, you show me someone who doesn't care about the upkeep of their room, their home, their business, and I'll show you someone who doesn't care about the upkeep of their inward man either. Because can I say to you tonight that your outward position is a result of your inward condition? I found out that people that don't care about the outside and all of the things there also don't care about their inside. You see, when they don't upkeep the outside, it's because they don't upkeep the inside. And it's nothing but just displaying outwardly what's going on inwardly. May I say to you, clutter outwardly, clutter inwardly. It's kind of like the same principle when the Bible talks about from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. From the abundance of clutter that we have in our life, that's what we display. And all we're doing is we're telling the whole world that, you know what? This is how I feel inwardly. This is how my life is inwardly, and it expresses itself outwardly. Now, church, may I say to you, is salvation the only thing that God is concerned about in our life? Is He only concerned about us being saved, or is He interested in every area of our lives? Have you ever asked yourself the question, what does God want from me anyway? What does God expect from me? Well, I want you to take your Bible, if you would, turn to Matthew chapter 22, if you would, please. Matthew chapter 22. Matthew 22. Beginning in verse 36. Verse 36, here's a lawyer that asks a question trying to tempt Jesus and catch him in his words. He says, Master, verse 36, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Let me stop right there. If you turn over to Luke 10:27, Jesus adds an extra. He says, and all thy strength there. He says, this is the first and great commandment. He says, and the second is likened to it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. He doesn't stop there. Listen to what he says. He says, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Folks, did you understand exactly what he said? He said, loving the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. He said, on these two commandments hang everything else. Everything else hangs on these two. You see, the thing about it is, when Jesus told us to love the Lord thy God and to love our neighbor as ourself, that's my purpose in life. You say, no, it's not. My purpose is to win souls. Well, hang on just a minute. Show me somebody winning souls that don't love God. You know, the people that are out winning souls, they do it because they love God. That's why they do it. That's why they're out talking to people about Christ. You see, if I love the Lord, I'm going to love His Word because they're inseparable from each other. I'm going to love His Word. I'm going to read His Word. I'm going to study His Word. I'm going to memorize His Word. You see, if I love souls, if I love God, I'm going to love souls. I'm going to love soul winning. I'm going to knock doors. I'm going to be a witness. You see, if I love God, I'll love the church. I'll love to serve. I'll love the fellowship here at church. You see, if I love the Lord my God, I'll love the hope of His coming also. You see, the thing about it is, when Jesus said everything hangs on these two laws, you love God, you'll love the church. You love God, you'll love souls. You'll love going out soul winning. You'll love serving. You'll love the fellowship. And you'll love His appearing. You can't help it. You know why? Because everything hangs on those two. Wait a minute. He also said to love thy neighbor as thyself. You see, if I love my neighbor as myself, I'm going to love them for Christ's sake. If for no other reason, I'm going to love them because He created them. And they're His workmanship. And I'm going to love them for Christ's sake. You see, if I love my neighbors myself, I'll love them in the good times and the bad times. Boy, it'd be great if it was all good times. But it don't work that way. You see, if I'm going to be what I need to be, and Jesus said everything hangs on these two, love God, love thy neighbor as thyself, I'll love that my neighbor just simply because for Christ's sake. But I'll also love them in the good times and the bad times. I'll love them enough to help them in life. I'll love them when they say, listen, can you spare a few minutes to help me move something in my garage? Are you kidding? You know I ain't got time. Now keep in mind now, Jesus said to love your neighbor as yourself. And I promise you, He's going to get this thing turned around and you're going to need something moved one day. And ain't nobody going to help you. You see, what we're doing here, see, all everything, you understand? Everything hangs on these two commandments. You see, if I love my neighbors myself, I'll love them and consider their needs before my own. I'll consider their needs before my own. You say, where'd you get that? It's in the Bible. That's, you know what? I got to look on the needs and of others and what their needs are before I look upon my own when I love my neighbors myself. That's what I'm doing. I'm trying to sow a little seed. Because someday, you know what? I'm going to need somebody. I'm going to need somebody. You see, if I love my neighbors myself, I will love them and be a friend to them. Now, folks, I don't have time tonight to talk about friendship. But some of us need to understand and learn what the Bible talks about being a friend. Well, we know real well what it means to be a pain. Am I right? Yeah, we know what it means to be a pain to somebody, but do we know what it means to be a friend to them? You see, because the Scripture says a friend loveth at all times. You know why you can do that? Because you love your neighbor as yourself. And I love the Lord thy God with all my heart, my soul, my mind. You see, Jesus said everything hangs on these two commandments. Now, what I want to do quickly, church, is first of all talk to you about some things that clutter our life. Some things that clutter our life. Take your Bible, if you would, please, and find Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs chapter 18. I want to look at some litter, some jumble in our lives that I think we probably need to go around and pick up. Proverbs 18 and verse number 9. Proverbs 18 and verse 9. If you'll find your place there. Now notice what it says. Proverbs 18, verse number 9. It says, "He also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster." I think one of the things that clutters a lot of our lives is slothfulness. Just inactivity, idleness. That's just not doing anything about anything. We just let it all ride. We just kind of turn our head the other way. We are slothful. Now, I'm not going to turn there, but you can read it in your spare time. Proverbs 24, verse number 30. Remember Solomon said he went by the field of the simple? And you know what he saw when he looked upon that field? He saw it all grown over, unattended. You know why? Because of inactivity. Because of slothfulness. And let me tell you something, my friend. Vines and thistles will grow over your heart. They'll grow in your life and they'll grab every area of your life and it will strangle your relationship with God. You see, slothfulness clutters our life. May I say to you, number two, look in Proverbs 29. Flip ahead just a few chapters of Proverbs chapter 29, verse 25. The scripture says, "The fear of man bringeth a snare." I think another area of clutter in our lives is not just slothfulness, but fear. Fear. Say, fear what? Some in here are afraid of the past. You're afraid that somebody's going to find out what you were, and you're afraid somebody's going to uncover you one day. Hey, folks, listen to me. If Jesus Christ is forgiven and saved, and you've got on your face and just, I mean, cried out to God with all your heart and said, "Lord, forgive me. I'm ashamed of my past life." Hey, you know what? Then put that aside. You see, too many of us, what happens? We get saved and we try to serve God always looking backwards. You can't serve God that way. You know what it is? It's clutter in our life. We're afraid of the past. Hey, some here are afraid of what other people are going to think. Folks, listen to me. I'm almost 48 years old. I got over that thing a long time ago. You say, "You don't care what other people think." Well, I do and I don't. But the main thing is I'm concerned about what the Lord thinks. Because let me tell you something. When I die one day, I'm not going to have to answer to you. And you're not going to have to answer to me. But I am going to have to answer to the Lord. So I better be concerned about what He thinks. That's the most important thing. See, some are afraid of their past, and some are afraid of what other people are going to think. So they come to church, and they're so nervous because they're afraid that somebody's going to think something wrong about their hair or the way they're dressed or this or that or this or that. Hey, folks, let me tell you something. Who are you coming here for anyway? You coming for the Lord? Or are you coming for somebody else? Hey, it's not a fashion show around here. Hey, this is not a talent show around here. Here to serve God. Need to get that clutter out. Some are afraid of the future. They're afraid of what's going to happen. Oh, man, what's going to happen with this recession? What's going to happen, Brother Carlos? I just don't know what's going to happen. And they stay afraid. You know what? That's clutter. That's jumble. That's litter. You know what that'll do? That'll keep you from doing what God wants you to do in your life. And then some are afraid of their inabilities. Well, I just can't do. Brother Ty, I can't do what they do. Well, did God ask you to do what they did? Last time I checked in the scripture, He said there's three different kinds of Christians. There's five talent, two talent, one talent. You know what? If I'm a one talent Christian, I ain't trying to be a five talent. You said, "Well, what are you going to be?" I'm going to be the best one talent I can be. And I'm not going to be like that buzzard that hid his in the napkin and hid it in the ground. You see, the thing about it is, you're looking about, listen, I'm not even sure if I'm a one talent Christian. But listen, God has given me some abilities just like He's given you some abilities. You know what He expects for you? He expects from you the same thing He expects from me. Your best. Your best. You see, fear can become clutter. Let me give you another piece of jumble that we can find. Look around in your garage. We see slothfulness, fear. How about debt? Oh boy, now we got to get down here where we actually live now. Debt has got a noose around most Christians' neck. You know why? Because we live beyond our means. We run up credit bills for things that we don't need. It hinders our ability to give to the church. We sit back and we think, well, Lord, I just don't have anything to give to missions this year. And the next thing the Holy Spirit says, well, I tell you what, won't you go home and pull out all them bills you got and take a look at how much you owe Visa and MasterCard and American Express and Sears and all these other people, and then sit back someday and try to figure out where all that money is in your house now. Most of the time, you couldn't put your finger on half of it. It's gone. Gone away. You see, debt. Our preachers used this saying before, and I think it is profound. When your outgo exceeds your income, then your upkeep becomes your downfall. And folks, too many of God's people are living beyond their means. You say, well, then what am I supposed to do about it? It's way over my head. I'm way over my head in debt. Then you know what? You need to work on getting out. And that doesn't mean trying to walk away from it and run away from it. That means pay it off. You say, it may take me 10 years. Then bless God, take 10 years to get it done. But do the honest thing. You know what that is? That's getting that clutter out. Next, unconfessed sin. Take your Bible, if you would, Proverbs 28, verse 13. Proverbs 28, verse 13. Another piece of litter in our life. Unconfessed sin. Proverbs 28, verse 13. He that covereth his sins, you need to underline this because I'm not sure we all believe this, shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have what? Okay? Now the thing about it, the right thing to do is confess it. You say, well, I go back to the Lord and I've committed this same sin 100 times. You know what? Then if you'll come back with an honest spirit and confess it, He'll forgive it 100 times. You know why? Because He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Last time I checked that verse, didn't find any strings attached to it. Didn't find any strings attached to it anywhere. Unconfessed sins, secrets in our life, carnality, offensive words. May I say to you, church, that a changed life comes from a changed heart? That's the reason the Bible talks about us, about how we need to guard our heart. Because out of it are the issues of what? Of life. Your life. That's the reason we have to guard it. Unconfessed sin. Listen, I'm telling you, when I get on my knees and I say, Lord, listen, I'm confessing everything. I begin saying, Lord, I confess and ask you to forgive me for not loving you like I need to love you, not being a soul winner like I need to, not seeing people saved and baptized like I need to. And sometimes I get caught up in it and start confessing stuff and I have to stop and think, man, did I really do that? Did that really happen? But you know what? I want to confess it all. And you say, well, I can't remember all mine. Well, let me tell you something. I got something for you in Romans chapter 8. There's a Holy Spirit of God that lives inside you that says, you know what? When you can no longer remember, that's where I take up. And He will bring those things before the throne of grace. Unconfessed sin. You know what it is? It's jumble. It's litter in our life. Next, Matthew 5:23. Turn there if you would with me. Unresolved conflict. Unresolved conflict becomes clutter. It becomes litter in our life. Matthew 5, verse 23. Find your place there. Matthew 5, 23. Jesus said, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar and there rememberest that thy brother have aught against thee, what does He say do? Leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way first to be reconciled to thy brother and then come and offer thy gift. Unresolved conflict. Maybe someone's hurt you. Maybe you got a wounded spirit. Maybe you're resentful towards someone or angry or bitter. You know what? You need to resolve that. Because you know what that's going to be in your life till the day you die? Jumble. Clutter. All you got to do is take a look at your interior garage.
Because can I say to you, you know what? You see this body right here? God wants to use it just like He wants to use yours. He wants to take and empower you to do a work, a mighty work in your life. The problem is too much clutter, too much litter, too much jumble in our lives. May I say to you next, this is going to cover a whole lot of things, but another form of clutter in our life is not slothfulness or fear or debt or unconfessed sin or unresolved conflict. It's what I call parasites. Parasites. Now, folks, if you don't know what a parasite is, which I think most everybody in here does, but some of you young people, kids, may not know what a parasite is. A parasite is something that feeds off of something else. And what it does, it feeds off of something else or another organism. And what it does, it contributes nothing to the survival of the organism that it's living off of. Every one of us need to step back and check out and see if we got parasites. That's sucking the life out of your Christianity. You know what that is? It's clutter. You say, what kind of parasites? How about immoral vices? When's the last time you've made a covenant with your eyes? When's the last time you've made a covenant with your ears, with your tongue, with your hands and feet? When's the last time you woke up in the morning and said, Lord, hear these hands, feet, mouth, ears, eyes, mind, they're all yours today. Use them as you so desire. Listen, you make that offer to Him, I promise you, He'll take over. Now, all I'm saying to you, church, is there's parasites, there's immoral vices. Next, there's unhealthy friendships. Now, there's some people, you know what you're just going to have to do? You're just going to have to break down and give them the boot. I'm sorry, you're just going to have to give them the boot. Because you know what they're going to do? They're going to pull you down in your Christian life. You say, oh, Brother Todd, I can't because some of them are family members. It's sad. But you got to do it. Because if not, you know what they're going to do? They're going to suck the life out of you. They're going to suck the energy, all the energy out of your life. Unhealthy friendships. And folks, I hope that you'll understand when I say this here, and I want you to listen very carefully to what I'm saying. I'm not saying quit all the ministries that you're in, but I'm just here to tell you, some of you got too many irons in the fire. Let me say that again. Some of you got too many irons in the fire. Let me say it one more time, because I don't think I'm getting it. Some of us have too many irons in the fire. And you know what? We're not doing anything good. You know what we're doing? We're getting by. We just got too many irons in the fire. And let me tell you something. You know what we're going to do? We're going to find out which one of those irons we like, and that's the one we're going to focus on. And all the rest of them, we're going to give half effort on. You know what you have to do in your life? You have to step back and look and realize, you know what? Outside of the Lord, your number one iron in the fire is your family. Let me tell you something. You're nuts. Listen to me. You are nuts if you let your family go to pot because of anything else. Whether it's a job, and you listen to me, or a ministry. See, God created a family before He created a ministry. See, He ordained the family unit before He ever ordained the church. And when you sacrifice your family for a ministry or for a job, you're nuts. I'm just here to tell you, we got parasites. Some of us got too many irons in the fire. Now, don't you go home now and call the preacher and say, preacher, I just want to let you know, Brother Todd said I need to get out of this and this, and you need to get out of this and this. And that's not what I said. I'm saying you need to evaluate. See, because some in this room, five-talent Christians. Some's two, some's one. But some in this room is trying to be a five-talent Christian when you, like me, a one or less. You got too many irons in the fire. And you're not doing anything good. And let me tell you what that's going to do. What that's going to do, that's going to lead to what I want to talk about next year about the results of clutter. But listen very carefully to what I'm about to say. Clutter hinders your intent and God's desire for your life. It's litter. It's jumble. And you know what we got to do? Got to address it. Got to address it. And I can't address it for you, but you can address it for yourself. Let me ask you this. Do you like living in an unkept house? Walk in, it's just trash everywhere. Bugs, roaches. Do you like living that way? I don't. Most of you in here don't. You say, well, man, we got to clean this up. Well, can I say something to you? Many of us, we got roaches, bugs, litter, jumble all in our life. You know, we got to do something about it, folks. Because if not, here's the results. Let me give you some results. First of all, let's go back to Luke chapter 10. I want to use Martha, if I could, for the results of clutter. First of all, here's some results of clutter. First of all, it interferes with your relationship with God. Now look, if you would, Luke chapter 10, verse number 40. The scripture says, but Martha was cumbered about with much... What's that next word? She was cumbered about with much serving. And she put the focus on the serving instead of on the serving of the Lord. See, she got her focus on the service of things rather than the service of God. So you know what she does? It interferes with her relationship and her purpose of life. And you know what clutter will do? Do the same thing to you. Do the same thing to me. If I don't take a regular evaluation of my life and figure out what is littering my life, then you know what's going to happen? It's going to interfere with my relationship. It does it every time. Because remember, your garage is designed for your car to be in, not for the clutter. Your life is designed for the usage of God and the filling of the Holy Ghost, not the filling of clutter. And God can't do in your life what He wants to do when we've got all these things. And what it's going to do, it's going to interfere with your relationship and walk with God. May I say to you, number two, look how it progresses. Not only does clutter interfere with your relationship with God, number two, it frustrates your spirit. Notice, if you would, in chapter 10, verse number 40. The scripture says, but Martha was cumbered about with much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? You know what that is? It's a frustrated spirit. Where'd she get that frustrated spirit from? Too much clutter. See, her focus was on the wrong thing. See, the thing is, what she was doing, she was frustrated because Mary was focused on the right thing. And because Mary was focused on the right thing and Martha was focused on the wrong thing, she's getting frustrated. Don't you care? You ever got in your prayer time and say, Lord, don't you care what's going on in my life? Look at this, the whole of my life is just a big old mess. Don't you care? Yeah, He cares. But sometimes we have a frustrated spirit, too much clutter. Too many irons in the fire. Maybe unresolved conflict or parasites or unconfessed sin or dead or fear or slothfulness. It frustrates the spirit. But may I say to you, number three, it aggravates others. You say, where you get that from? I'm going to show you. And again, you say, man, you're reading a whole lot into this. Well, I'm reading here and I'm doing this story, okay? I'm trying to picture it how it's all happening here and how I think the tone of it is. Because in verse 41, and Jesus answered and said unto her, here's where I believe the aggravation comes in. He didn't just say Martha. He said, Martha, Martha. And when Jesus calls your name twice, He's fixing to make a point. And I've sensed that maybe a little bit in the Lord's voice there might have been a little aggravation. Because you know why? Because Martha was frustrated. It was interfering with her relationship with God. And Jesus says, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. You know what? You got too many irons in the fire. And He says, what happens is because you got too many irons in the fire and you can't do anything good and you can't do your best in any single one of them, what you're is you're getting frustrated to the wrong people. What the thing about it is you need to be frustrated yourself for getting yourself into this. He says, listen, Martha, Martha, you're troubled about many things. And what clutter does, it aggravates others. May I say to you next? What it does, it distracts you from practicing Christian character. Would you take your Bible just quickly and turn to Matthew chapter 5?
When Jesus began his Sermon on the Mount, I thought it was very interesting what Jesus, the subject that Jesus chose to address first. When you begin in verse 3 and go down through verse number 12, you will find there what we believe, or what we call as Baptists, the Beatitudes. The interesting thing about those Beatitudes is that every one of them have to do with Christian character. And the very first thing that Jesus addressed was the character of his people. You know what he told them? He says, now boys, everybody listen. He says, this is the way a Christ-like person should respond. This is the character that you should have if you're going to represent me. And you know what clutter does? It distracts you from practicing that kind of Christianity. It distracts you from practicing Christian character. May I draw your attention to several of these? First of all, he said, blessed are the poor in spirit, the humble, the contrite. And may I say to you, church, that a man's spirit will determine his response to truth. That's the reason he hit it right off the bat. Isn't it amazing, Brother Sam, how the preacher can get up here, preach the same message, have one old boy on this side of the auditorium, another boy on this side of the auditorium, he gives the invitation, this guy gets up, comes down with tears in his eyes, this guy gets up and leaves. You know why? Because their spirit determined their response to truth. So you know what Jesus hit right off the bat? Spirit. Popped it right off the bat. You know why? Because he knows that every single one of us have to deal with that area of our life. Next, did you notice he says, blessed are they that mourn. How about grieve or sorrow over our sin? Not only our sin, how about the sins of others? How about the sinful condition of the world and its lost state? He said, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Did you notice next? He says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Once again, humility, trust with self-control, a willingness to live a sacrificial life instead of a material life. Did you notice he says next, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You want to be a full gospel preacher? A full gospel Christian? Hunger and thirst after righteousness. He says, because you shall be filled. You see, you know what he's addressing? Christian character. That's what he's addressing here. Look what else he says. He says in verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. That's people with compassion, people willing to forgive, and people that are sympathetic to the needs of people, understanding of people's shortcomings, not critical toward people when they stray from God's will for their life. You know why I address that? Because the common thing to do is chop their head off. The common thing to do is say, oh, well, we can't fellowship with you because you backslidden. Well, he didn't say fellowship with them, but you know what? You are supposed to restore them. So look what else he says. He says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. That's believers with sincere motives, integrity, honest, serving and giving out of love for Christ, not out of necessity. Can I ask you, what are you doing with what you're doing? Or why are you doing what you're doing? You ever ask yourself, why am I even serving in the bus ministry? Why am I even doing this? Why am I teaching a Sunday school class? Why am I doing what I'm doing? God wants you to have the right motive, a pure heart. Did you notice he says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Peacemakers. Huh. You know what that is? That's promoters of peace. That's people that help quiet strife instead of stirring it up. Not agitating, causing problems, but being a problem solver. He said that's part of Christian character. But let me say, hey, when we got clutter and litter and jumble in our garage, we can't do what we're intended to do. Can't put the car in there.
Next, did you notice what else he says? He says, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. That's suffering. That's suffering. And if we're going to live righteously in Christ Jesus, guess what we're going to suffer? Did you hear me? I said, if we live righteously in Christ Jesus, guess what we're going to suffer? If we live righteously in Christ Jesus, didn't say compromising. Said righteously in Christ Jesus, you shall suffer persecution. You know what all these are? All of these are Christian character traits. And when we've got clutter, we can't practice them. We're distracted from practicing Christian character. Now, for the last few moments, how do you limit clutter? How do you limit clutter in your life? Well, I think first of all, you have to address the four areas that Jesus addressed. He said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. Now, with that said, let me throw some things out here quickly to you and I'll be done. Because if we're going to do and serve God like we need to, and we're going to clear the clutter out, how are we going to be able to limit the clutter in our life? Well, first of all, you're going to have to get wisdom from the Lord. You know what part that takes care of? That takes care of your mind. You say, what do I need wisdom for? Well, how about wisdom to be a good husband and a good wife? How about wisdom to be a good parent? How about wisdom to develop a good home or strengthen your character or wisdom to make proper decisions? Even in a crisis. Not in the easy times. You see, if I'm going to love the Lord thy God, my God, with all my mind, I'm going to have to get wisdom from the Lord. You know where that wisdom comes from? Comes from that book right there. That means, I know this is going to hurt you, just like it hurts me, but we're going to have to read it. And not only are we going to have to read it, we're going to have to practice it. And not only are we going to have to read it and practice it, we're going to have to memorize it. And not only are we going to have to read it and practice it and memorize it, we're going to have to spread it. Now all I'm saying to you, church, is this. If I'm going to get rid of the clutter, if I'm going to put back the car in the garage like it needs to be and get rid of the junk, I'm going to have to attack the mind. I'm going to have to get wisdom from God. The next thing the Scripture talks about here is Jesus said, not only do we love with all of our mind, we're to love the Lord thy God with all of our heart. I think that speaks of our spirit. And if we're going to get the clutter out in our spirit, not only are we going to have to find wisdom from the Lord, we're going to have the joy of the Lord. You know, Nehemiah said, the joy of the Lord is my strength. So you know what? If I'm going to have the strength to get the litter out, if I'm going to have the strength to get the junk out, I'm going to have the joy of the Lord in my life. You know, the Scripture talks about rejoicing in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Do you know that word rejoice just simply means to rejoice? Just like you have to refuel, you're going to have to rejoy. You say, oh, how often am I going to have to rejoy? Let's try every day. Every day. And if I'm going to rejoy, then you know what I'm going to have to do? I'm going to have to find out and get wisdom from the Lord for my mind, but I'm going to have to get something from my spirit. I'm going to have the joy of the Lord in my spirit. Let me address one other thing here, too, about the spirit. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31, don't turn there. But if I'm going to address this area of loving the Lord my God with all my mind, I need the wisdom up from the Lord. If I'm going to love Him with all my heart, I'm going to have the joy of the Lord. But may I say also, Isaiah 40 said I'm going to have to wait on the Lord. I'm going to have to wait on the Lord. And that doesn't mean sit down and do nothing. That word wait there is the same thing if you went to a restaurant and someone comes and waits on you. They're called a waiter. It's called serving. And you know what? I have seen several acts of just incredible giving and kindness from people in our church lately. Let me tell you something. What that does, That shows me, but it also shows the Lord there's some growth there. There's some progression there. When those people begin to give, you know what they have? They've got the joy of the Lord in their spirit. They're beginning now to understand how to wait on the Lord. Then Jesus said, not only we're to love the Lord thy God with all of our heart, with all of our mind, but he also said that we need to love the Lord our God with all of our soul. With all of our soul. Job chapter 23 verse 10 says this, but he that knoweth the way that I take, when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. You know, when clutter gets down and hinders the soul, the only thing that I seem to find in Scripture that really deals with that is testing. God putting us through some incredible testing in our life. You say, but that might make me cry. It's good for you. That might make me hurt my soul. It's good for you. You'll be all right. You'll be okay. You see, sometimes God has to put us through testing in our life. He tested a bunch of people in Scripture. He tested Abraham with Isaac. He tested Peter, did he not? He tested Paul. And may I say to you, he's going to test you and I. You know why? Because if you're going to love the Lord your God with your mind, your heart, and your soul, you've got to get the clutter out. Testing has a good way of getting the clutter out. And may I say to you lastly, then he says that we're to love him with all our strength. Luke chapter 10. This is where the toughie comes in, because this is where prayer and fasting comes in. This is where prayer and fasting comes in, because that strength that he's talking about here is not talking about physical strength. He's talking about spiritual strength. And the last time I found where I got some of my greatest spiritual strength is the more time I spent on my knees and the more time I began cleaning out the clutter. Fasting has a way of cleaning out a lot of clutter out of your garage. Now, church, all I'm saying to you tonight is this. We need to get back to living a clutter-free Christian life. Look around. Look in your heart. Look at all the stuff that you've put in your mind, the jumble, the litter that needs to come out. The only way that's going to happen is for us to get some wisdom from the Lord. And in our spirit to have the joy of the Lord and then begin to wait on the Lord. And then in our soul, there's going to be some testing from the Lord. And then if we're going to have the strength that God wants us to have, we're going to have to do some praying and fasting. Do you want that? Do you want to live that clutter-free Christian life? There's nothing that is more irritating, is it not? When you see somebody just take something and just chunk it out the window, trash, you think, man, I can't believe they just did that. That just drives me nuts. Nothing drives you mamas any crazier than to go in your kid's room and you have to take your feet and move stuff out of the way and push stuff out of the way. You know why? A bunch of stinking clutter. Jumble. Litter. But you know when it gets that way in our life, all we do is express our outward condition. It just reveals our inward condition as well. Would you bow your heads with me tonight? Every head bowed, every eye closed.